Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 29th of April, recording at 8:18 p.m. British Standard Time. Well, as I'm going to be at the IG Index Trading Conference tomorrow, this is my last audio broadcast of the week. Therefore, it is my big picture global long-term summary. And starting with stock markets, this is a dangerous period here, certainly for long positions. I've been emphasizing this point recently, and basically the overall background, I maintain that Wall Street is in a secular, that is, very long-term bear market, and that we have certainly seen the best, if not all, of what was a predictable and extremely good technical bull within this secular bear. Now, the prospects for other markets are obviously going to be influenced by Wall Street. We've never seen markets entirely uncouple from any big move that's occurred in the US stock market, and I wouldn't expect that to happen now. But now, in terms of short-term vulnerability, you know, I've talked about resistance levels up near some prior highs, that the market being overbought in the short term, that I felt the pendulum of sentiment was going to swing in a negative direction because people had rather overdone or over-discounted the good corporate news, such as it was, and the economic growth around the globe. And there was a lot more to start worrying about, not least the very difficult situation in Iraq and increased terrorist activity elsewhere in the Middle East and beyond. And indeed, that's even spread to one of my favorite markets again in southern Thailand now, where you will no doubt have seen coverage of some of the recent problems and killings. So that's a major worry. Then we have U.S. interest rates as a very significant worry, because investors are now twigging to the fact that inflationary pressures are rising, and that's being reflected in the U.S. bond market. So a lot to worry about, and I could go on. There are other points, but I've reviewed most of them before, such as uncertainty over the U.S. election outlook, because the polls are very close, as you know. So in the short term, the markets look dodgy, and fortunately, the short positions that I was putting on last week are now all in the money here today, and we really have seen some quite significant downward dynamics recently. Just to run through, we had most of the Asian markets on the downside, and European markets had opened well, a little unchanged, and rallied a bit, some of them. But what we did see today was a lot of churning activity. And by that, I mean just sort of whipsaw, with particularly in the Dow, up, down, up, down. But now selling off quite sharply towards the close of the day. We're right at the lows of the day. As I speak, with the Dow down 122, the S&P 14, and the NASDAQ composite, remember that's the leader, the NASDAQ down 40, 43. Now what about ultra long term? Has the rally completely had it? Well, I'm not sure. How could anyone be at this stage? But I do want to play this from a largely short perspective. Now, I haven't chucked out all my few remaining high-yielding UK shares, a small number of short-term oversold gold shares, and I haven't sold my investment trusts that are invested largely in India and also in Thailand. And I have some pension fund positions in Japan. But I have more than hedged those. In other words, I'm net short. Now, I'm obviously not hedged. I haven't hedged like for like here, but the short positions are significant. Well, why didn't I just sell everything else out? Because I'm not convinced that this is the big one. In other words, that we're going to go straight on down from here and test the March 2003 lows and the October 2002 lows may be premature for that, but certainly markets are vulnerable at this stage, and I wanted to not only be protected against the downside, but to actually take advantage of it somewhat. Okay, now on a very long-term basis, I do maintain that 2005 and 2006 are going to be tough years for the stock market. The first 2 years of a new U.S. presidential election term usually are. During the last 2 years of a presidential election cycle, those are usually the best, particularly the year before the presidential election cycle, in other words, last year. And that's when governments, incumbent governments, are stimulating the economy and getting ready for the election campaign. Now, the bond market lead factor is also extremely negative, and I'll say more about that in a moment. In terms of ultra long-term potential, I think there's no doubt that Asia is going to be the star performer, and that will include Japan, as it did last year and this year and from here on. In other words, I expect Japan to generally outperform Wall Street and the European markets. But remember now, the emerging Asian markets, which some of which would outperform Japan, are high beta. In other words, they are going to go up more when Wall Street's firm, and they're also, in most instances, going to come down more when we get sell-offs in the U.S. markets. So they're certainly going to be volatile, but the good phases, I suspect, will more than make up for the bad phases. Now, that doesn't mean that you won't get performance in Europe and the U.S. during the rally periods, but let's say that if you had a typically good share in a, say, typically good bank in the West, and if that went up 100%, that would be an awfully good move in the medium-term rally phase. I wouldn't be at all surprised if good performing banks in a number of the inform emerging markets went up 200 or 300% or more. So it's that type of comparison. Therefore, I want my pension fund portfolio, my ISA investments, my long-term plays, and indeed many of my speculative plays during the bullish phases over the next few years to be heavily overweight in Asia. And that's been my policy since I moved back into markets last May, and I know it'll be my policy going forward, or it's very, very likely to be the case. Okay, but for now, I say we've seen the best, if not all, of the rally. We do want to be very, very careful. This is not a time to be chasing any stocks on the upside. This is a time to be raising cash, and that's been my theme really in recent months, and I have raised quite a bit of cash, as you may recall. Okay, moving on to global government bond markets. This is a very dangerous area. I maintain that the secular bull markets peaked in June of last year. Then we had a very sharp sell-off, which convinced me that that had been the peak. And remember, we had about an 18-year bull market in those bonds, interrupted with some fairly sharp reactions, as is always the case. Then markets bottomed, I believe, in September, and talking about bond prices now, and then they rallied, ranged somewhat higher, creating some short opportunities, which I took advantage of in the U.S. Treasuries, 30-year Treasuries, and also the JGBs, Japanese government bonds. I have subsequently covered those positions, and I'm a little vexed to see the U.S. Treasury bond over a point lower than where I had sold it. But more importantly for you, what about these Treasury bonds? Well, certainly rising yields, falling U.S. Treasury bond prices are bearish for the stock markets. I said when bonds first started to come off that that would be a little bit bullish for equity markets. And then people would take fright, and the fright that they're, and that's what we've seen. And the fright that they're now taking is, of course, concerns inflationary expectations, which have been rising. Therefore, I'm only interested in playing the bonds on from the short side. Having taken profits on my shorts, I will now just watch this market, and if it starts to break down again, I will almost certainly jump in again, short the futures markets. There's no way I'm going to be buying any government bonds in here over the short to medium term. Okay, then let's look at the currency markets now. This is quite interesting. First, a short, well, now long-term context. I have maintained that at the dollar's highs, I haven't got that chart right in front of me, but I think a couple of months ago that we had seen most. Did I say the dollar's highs? That's a bad slip. Let me correct that. Saying at the euro's highs a couple of months ago. I'm just going to put that chart up so I can be quite precise. And I have got it on the website, or I've got euro dollar on the website here today because it is looking interesting. Now, yes, it was the high back in February for the euro. We had that big key day reversal. We had a couple of them right up at the top, dead giveaway signal. Tradable signal, I said at the time, although I did not trade that myself because I felt it was probably a penultimate peak. And that's still my view. And subsequently, we've just been monitoring this gradual ranging downtrend for the euro, and the fact that it has come down much more slowly than it went up adds to my belief that this is likely to be, well, that we're likely to see those highs that we saw last February up near the 129 level. It's quite likely that they will be retested at least at some point. And could even be this year. These corrections tend to be in the 3 to 6 month category, and well, since the euro had all but seen its highs in January, it's this length of this correction is now conformed to that approximation. And today's action is the first hint that we've seen in recent weeks that just maybe the euro's bottoming here. In other words, that the dollar's starting to soften again. And the latest price that I see on this is 1.1976. That's up 1.34. So it's a good gain on the charts. You'll be able to see that chart, as I've mentioned. And if we move up tomorrow or next week above the 120 level, people are going to start to unwind their euro short positions. Now, what had helped to trigger that? Well, the US GDP figures were a little bit softer than people had expected. And also, we had a short-term oversold condition for the euro. As I say, this is not game, set, and match, but this is the first evidence, technical evidence that I've seen in recent weeks, over the last month, certainly, that we're getting possibly evidence that the euro is bottoming, the dollar rally losing momentum. Okay, but this is going to be a tricky area in terms of trading activity. I've got a generally low profile here that can change, could well change going forward, but overall, the currency markets, having trended wonderfully in previous years, are mostly in a ranging market environment overall. The one position I do have is euro yen, which where I bought the euro against the yen after a considerable sell-off, but as I said at the time, would have been perhaps more prudent to wait. Or more conservative, certainly, to wait for an upward dynamic, which occurred a couple of weeks later and at a lower level. So I came in a bit high, but I'm back in the money just slightly, showing a small gain here at 131.39. It's a big temptation, having held that at a loss for several weeks, big temptation to step aside, but the chart looks reasonably favorable, so I'm going to hold on to this for the time being. In terms of other currencies, again, mostly, as I say, ranging, but we're now seeing the euro steady against the pound after its big sell-off. So I think that's going to be the main action if we get any main action in here, was to see a somewhat firmer euro than we've seen for a while. Okay, in the commodity markets, now the industrial commodities in particular, as you'll know, they've been nailed recently in recent weeks. I've stressed what a volatile sector this will be. It will produce some wonderful, consistent, orderly trends, but we'll get huge contra-trend reactions. And we've just seen one of those huge contra-trend reactions. And it's brought many of these commodities back to buying levels. Now, a lot does hang on the fact of whether or not the dollar is turning here. But if it isn't turning, it's seen most of the rally that I think we're going to get for the greenback. And therefore, I think those of you who are feeling very brave, that technically you can justify putting a toe back in the water. I've put considerably more than a toe back in the water in the silver market. As you know, I started coming in with baby steps buying, and I described it as not an ideal baby steps situation, but it had taken such a beating that I thought, right, this is setting up for a bounce now, so I can start going in. And I began to buy at 655, little baby steps orders, bought all the way down in my sterling account down to 605. It then sort of had a dead cat bounce, but then headed lower yesterday, and I from what was almost a break-even position on that. So I commenced buying, as you may recall, yesterday at 595 and 585. I didn't leave any further orders in overnight, but when I looked at this morning and it was down around the 560 level, I then picked up 2 units of my baby steps in my dollar account, so I doubled up the dollar account position. Now, it got up to 599 here today, and the $6 level is a psychological, technical level because there was some old support there where it hovered and then broke down from that old support. So it's really got to break, silver's got to break back above $6 and get up to about 6.5, 6.10 to cause people to think, yes, this really has turned. Now, I certainly think it's going to do that, and it'll probably do that in the short term. As I speak, we're at 5.92. Closed a little earlier, but we're getting the after-hours trading in here right now. And so what I have done is put my scale-up sell orders to take profits in the dollar account. The first one comes in at 6.10 basis the screen. These are all spread bet positions. Now that will take out my that would take out my purchase at 5.95. Now at 6.10, that's not going to do more than pay for my forthcoming long weekend in Edinburgh. But the next order is a 6.20, and that would be a bigger profit. And then, given my low purchase here today at 6.80, the next sells are up at 6.30 and 6.40. And 6.30, I'd be well, about 6.20, I'd be in the money across the boards on this. But it's been a risky strategy, and it was I took more risks than I really like to do in this. It's been mighty exciting, but in a masochistic sort of way. And I'm not in the markets for challenge. I love writing about markets and talking about markets. That's my career creative outlet. But in terms of actually taking positions in markets, I'm not interested in doing that for excitement. I'm not interested in doing it for therapy. I'm only interested in actually taking the position for profit. and I make no apologies in saying that. So I could have chosen a much more conservative strategy, and with hindsight, you know, some of you might well say, "Well, my goodness, David, why didn't you just wait until silver fell to 560 and then bought down there?" Well, of course, I didn't know at the time that it was going to go down that low, so I started to come in on the baby steps basis when I felt it was really very oversold and getting close to a good bounce. Now, what I want to see, and of course, the market doesn't care what I want to see, but what I hope to see is considerable volatility, and then that will play into my hands in terms of the baby steps orders. Okay, now what else have I got to mention here? I think I've told you that, again, so many of these metals look really quite oversold in here, and we saw the first signs within the last few days of firming in here today. Nickel's one of the most oversold. I won't be able to deal in the markets tomorrow, being away, but I certainly expect to be establishing some more positions here, particularly if it looks like the dollar rally may be ending or over. Now, I think that's pretty much it. Crude oil is up a little bit in here today, 37.45 overall, but in terms of long-term position, long-term view on the currency markets, it's very, very difficult to make long-term currency forecasts unless you're dealing or talking about real extremes in markets, and we're not in that at that stage here now. So I'm just holding off on long-term forecasts on the currencies. Most of them are in trading ranges, but I've already said to you that previously, that before this dollar rally, that I felt that we'd seen most of the dollars sell off, but I do expect dollar to go back down and retest its lows at least at some stage. In terms of the commodity markets, again, the supply inelasticity theme is very, very important. It's one of my themes, my main theme for the year, and it's now looking attractive once again, even though we don't have confirmation that these commodity markets have bottomed at this stage. And it's a theme that I think is going to be off and on extremely important over the next few years, and that we really are still in the early years of a secular bull market in commodities. So that's my wrap up for another week and my next audio. Remember, Monday is bank holiday here in the UK, and I will still be in Edinburgh, where, as I think I mentioned once before, we will be getting Mrs. Fuller's brand new made-to-measure touring bike for this summer's lengthy cycle trip. Look forward to that. And you have a good day in the markets tomorrow, and an absolutely splendid weekend.